morning. Thank you, Don, for Don knew that, this lesson was about fellowship, and he picked some wonderful songs, a lot of the weakest songs, on how we're going through this life together, we're praising God together, and hopefully we'll all be going to heaven together. Got a couple of prayer requests that I want to mention before we get started. Glenda and her son is going to be driving to Idaho this week, staying a few days, and she requests prayers for safe travels. And also, Addison is homesick, Addison Sparks, and wants to stay home. And wouldn't catch cold or anything on the other people. We need to remember him. Let's bow to God in prayer before we get into our lives. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We thank you for the avenue of prayer, that we can come before your throne and offer up our requests. Dear God, sometimes we don't even know the words to say. And we thank your Son and the Spirit that you know what our heart is. We have a number of requests right now. We pray for Glenda and her son as they're preparing to travel. Our desire is that they will have a safe trip to and from Idaho and get back home safely. We ask that you be with Addison. We hope that he gets feeling better soon and get back to normal. Dear God, we're thankful for our visitors. Each one of us, dear God, have certain burdens and cares that maybe only you know about. We pray for each other. We ask strength, guidance, and we ask that we're able to be a source of strength for our brothers and sisters. Again, please forgive us for the things we do wrong. We pray everything to your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning, Dick ended up his class on fellowship. And I tell you, we've had some wonderful Bible classes lately. If you're not in the habit of attending Bible study, it would behoove you. We have had some unbelievable classes recently. And Preston's going to be starting the book of Hebrews next Sunday morning, and I know I'm looking forward to that. We're going to look at the concept of fellowship today. Fellowship is an active part of worship. Man, us, is not designed to be an island. You theoretically can study the Bible at home. You theoretically could take the Lord's Supper at home. You can pray by yourself. But there is something about coming together. Like I said, we're not designed to be solitary people. To come together as a body and worship. You know, it makes it so much special when we have visitors that come from out of town. They come to Las Vegas, only about a couple hundred other things to be doing right now. But they come, Jan and Mark Lunsford are here with us again from North Carolina, and they worship with us every time they're in town. When we come together from our busy day-to-day lives during the week, and we come together to offer worship together. Now, worship is not just coming together on a Sunday morning. others to study the Word together, to commune together, to offer up our gifts to God together. There's something special about that. Fellowship, the original Greek, is koinonia. And fellowship is a friendly association, but you can have a friendly association with the checker at the grocery store. I've got friendly associations with the checkers. But that's not Christian fellowship. Especially with people who share the plan. Where we are bound by God. They say blood is thicker than water. The blood of Christ binds us. People of different walks of life, people of different ages, people of different backgrounds, coming together for the same common bond. Some of the synonyms of fellowship is companionship. Compatibility. Sociability, comradeship. They get comrades together. You're bound by Christ. Some of the things fellowship is not, it's not just an acquaintance, but it's a bond and sharing of each other's lives. Many of us have worshiped together for years. Many of us have fellowship and have intertwined our lives. Some of us, our children have grown up together. We have experienced many things together. That's fellowship. It's more than just showing up on a fairly regular basis. It's more than that. Got some questions about fellowship. Is one in fellowship with Christ and with a congregation who rarely attend? Oh, I'm part of this congregation. I don't show up. I don't really do any of the things that the group does. But I'm part of that group. I wonder how long you'd be part of the Elks. I wonder how long you'd be part of a bowling team or a soccer league. I got the jersey. I never go to the games. I never go to the practices. I saw the coach at the grocery store. At least I think I saw. But it might have been somebody else. I'm not sure. Wonder how long you'd be considered part of that. Is a person in fellowship that doesn't want to be fellowship. That's something to think about there. And that's kind of one of those uncomfortable questions. Ouch, you're stepping on some toes now. Is a person in fellowship with a group that doesn't want to be fellowship? And you define what not wanting to be fellowship is. I want to read the scripture that Dick read earlier. From Ecclesiastes 4, we see that some of the benefits of true fellowship. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand. as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Closer we get, the better, closer fellowship we should be. In Mark 14, we see Jesus, even Jesus, needed and wanted fellowship. Jesus addressed the masses. And then there was the 12. And then, well, there was the masses, then there were the ones that followed him, truly followed him, the disciples. And of those disciples, then there was the 12. And of the 12, then there were Peter, James, and John. And then of those three, there was John, who is often described as the disciple Jesus. Not that he loved the others, but Jesus needed and showed them the value of fellowship. And in Mark 14, verse 32, it says, then they came to a place which is named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He was getting ready in just hours to be crucified. He was going to pray to the Father, and he takes his closest people that he had on earth and to share that moment. He was sorrowful, and he wanted them to be his. He opened himself up. Though their rock opens himself up and tells them, I'm worried. I'm scared. I'm sorry. Stay here with me. Right. That's our fellowship, is sharing each other's lives and opening up to each other. We see a perfect example here with Jesus. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. That fellowship is so important. That's how the church grew, was the fellowship and the word of God. In Philippians, the first chapter, Paul was extremely close to groups of people, and especially the Philippians. And he wrote to them, and he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He included those people in his prayers. He loved them. And he prayed for them. And what was that binding agent? It was the fellowship of the gospel. People of different walks of life, people of varying personalities, but their fellowship in the gospel. Very similar to the Christians in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, he says, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. There's the definition of Christian fellowship, is that sharing of their own lives together. not just coming together for an hour on Sunday morning and not seeing each other during the week. It's being connected. I love when during the week when I'm able to see or have contact with brothers and sisters during the week, it uplifts me. And Paul is telling the Christians in Thessalonica that very thing. In Acts 20, verse 36, it says when he had said these things, he's talking about Paul, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. There was a bond there. They had established a bond in Christ that was not going to be easily broken. Dick used this verse in Bible class this morning. In fact, we've used it many times in different lessons here. The Apostle John wrote, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we don't walk in the light, not just hear about it, not, well, I read it once, but if we're walking in it, we're living in it, one of the benefits of is that we have fellowship with one another. That's the kind of the standard of what makes fellowship. You hear people saying, give so-and-so the right hand of fellowship. What does that mean? Right hand of fellowship is if people are walking in the light. If they are also Christians, one of the benefits we have while on this earth is if we're walking in the light, we have fellowship with each other. And that's what makes that what makes this time here on earth survivable with each other. And the benefit of walking in the light, we're cleansed from our sin. Oh, I did that a long time ago. I don't need it. It's not a once saved, always saved approach. Romans 12, we're wrapping up with this. Paul understood. Paul was so close to so many people. But you know what? As it says, he didn't suffer fools gladly. And he understood there's different kinds of people. And Paul wrote, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. There are different kinds of people. Some are easy to love. And some are just pokey porcupines. There's some people you just can't get close to. It's a shame. As much as it depends on you, don't you be the porcupine. Don't you be the porcupine. As much as it depends on you, don't let you be the one why you can't get along. Some people don't want to be fellowship. Unfortunately. Fellowship is a lot more than just having an acquaintance with somebody, seeing somebody maybe once a week, unless something better comes along and then you don't even see them yet. I find it funny that the difference between excuses and reasons why people can't show up. Difference between excuses and reasons are the person. If they're coming up with it, it's an excuse. If you're coming up with it, it's a valid reason. They all stink. Do we base fellowship on whether we have the same personality as somebody? Do we base fellowship and attendance? Well, so-and-so made me mad, so I'm not going to show up to worship. You're not going to worship God and fellowship with the rest of the brothers because somebody said something about you? Why? I'm not going to show up. Because that preacher, he just at all. Not much to look at. You guys are creating way too much on this one. It's good to not worship God because you don't like the preacher. You're going to show up, not show up, because I don't like this guy's song lead today. They send out the bulletin and this and that usually on Friday or Saturday so people can know what the order of worship is. Because some people are watching from out of town, they can get the different numbers of their song books lined up and so forth. Oh, so-and-so, we can sing. I'll watch somebody else online. You're laughing. You'd be surprised how true that is. I'm not going to show up because who's going to be preaching that week? Well, the Boy Scout, I promise. Fellowship is being bound by Christ. Nothing can break that other than us. And it's sharing our lives. It's not just because I come here. It's sharing our lives. We're coming together this morning to worship God together. But we get that benefit, 1 John 1:7. We get that benefit of each other. Let's take this with us as we go this week. Reach out this week. This is your homework. Don't think I won't check. This is your homework. Reach out to another brother or sister this week. See how their week is going. Give them a call. Give them a text. Just see how they're doing. Just be amazed how well it makes you feel and especially how much they feel. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayer, repentance, identifying with us, the work of worship here, whatever you need, please come forward as Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.